Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 8 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we're coming to you from today's international headquarters of PHCC, Gastonia, North Carolina, and looking forward to having some great discussions in the coming weeks and months. We're doing this podcast because we believe in telling the incredible stories of our members, chapters, events, and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today, we are really blessed because we have past national president Lori Krigler from Virginia and PHCC director of education Heidi Salati as our guest. Lori and Heidi, thanks for joining us today. It's really great to have you guys here, and welcome to PHCC Rocks.
Thanks, Joel. It's a pleasure to be here.
You guys wide awake this Joel. Morning. We're shooting this early in the morning, and I think we've all had tons of coffee, and we're ready to get moving on it, and excited to have you guys. And, you know, I'm really excited. You know, Lori is, you know, before we get started, I'm just going to tell everybody, you know, you probably don't know how much of an inspiration you have been to a lot of us. You know, we're never going to tell you that. I guess I just did publicly, but you know, the way you just have constantly just been moving and involved and always looking for a way to improve things. So I'm really, really been excited to get you on here today. And then in the middle of whatever you're talking about, I'm going to ask you some embarrassing questions about, you know, Danny or something. But yeah, we're really glad to, we're glad to have you. And Heidi, you know, the education piece of PHCC National, you know, I think is really one of the backbones of our success. And a lot of times it's one of those things that it goes and it works, but we sometimes don't tend to connect the dots on how important it is. So the work you guys are doing is just incredible. So if you could, there's that word. We have this thing about the word incredible. I like the word incredible. I use the word incredible. I need to find another word, but if y'all can get, tell us
your
about
moniker.
Yeah. tell us about you know, yourselves and maybe some of your background and how you got into PHCC. Heidi, you want to start, Heidi?
Sure. So when I graduated university, I moved up to Washington D.C. and I started working in nonprofits for the most part. I started at a think tank and then I went on to the trade association world, and I've actually spent more time in the built environment than anything else. I started at DBIA, the Design Build Institute of America, which was, you know, everything on the design build methodology. And I worked for the Interior Designers Association. Again, you know, you're working across the board with everybody in the built environment. But then when I came to PHCC, what was really interesting was the department did not really exist. It existed on paper, right? And so I was brought in to basically give it legs, get it started, and get it up and running. And that just doesn't happen very often in the association world, that you're going to walk into an association and get to establish your department.
Sure.
I've headed up thinly started departments, but from the very beginning, not really. So it's been a tremendous experience. It's been an incredible experience.
Okay.
So, you know, we still have a lot more growing to do, a lot more partnerships to get in our pockets. So, you know, it's been a great experience. And I think I'm just shy of my 4 years here at
the
HCC.
Oh, wow. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And actually, Joel, I'm going to put a little spotlight on you right now, because I think it was the first week that I started. Because it was right before we left for Connect, you were in the office and you came over and you said hello and you were very welcoming. And then like 2 or 3 days later, I get the loveliest note from you, you know, welcoming me to PHCC. And I just thought that was very warm and very nice. And I still think about that to this day because I have the note picked up in my office.
Well,
thank you very much. That was very kind of you.
Well, thank you. You know, we've been blessed. The staff, you know, nationally, the staff does a lot of great work. Most of it's behind the scenes. And so I think the staff's really, you guys really put me, and I think a lot of us, you make us look good, that's for sure. But thanks for that background. So Yeah. With you starting it though, you're everything good, bad, and ugly. It's all yours, right? And when you start,
I own it all.
That's right.
I own it all.
All right, Laurie.
We're glad you're here.
Yes, we are. Oh my goodness.
Well, you want to know how I got into PHCC? How much time have you got?
That's what I was afraid of. It's only a 45-minute show, Laurie.
Let's see. I'll see if I can skip to the meat. Well, my husband and I started a business in 1973. And I was teaching at the time. I was a kindergarten and first grade teacher. Can you tell?
That applies. That still applies to all the contractors you work with. That's right.
Yes, it does.
That's right.
They don't know how to get in line very well, they're learning. And so I got to the point where I had to make a choice about whether I was going to continue helping my husband in the evenings in the office or quit teaching. So I said, well, I really want to see where this business goes. So I quit teaching and tried to formulate a role for me in our company, L&D Associates. And we basically built the company up from the grassroots, a pickup truck and $200 in the bank. And almost 40 years later, we sold it. Well, we didn't sell it. We merged with another company. But during the course of that time, I got real interested in the workings of PHCC, and I became quite an advocate and served on the board of directors. And then Steve Rivers asked me to be his secretary. So I was first woman secretary of PHCC. And then after I finished that, I said, well, gosh, I'm really getting into the meat of everything here, so I don't want to quit yet. So I threw my hat in the ring and became national president and loved every minute of it. When that ended, I had to figure out what I was going to do aside from my role as owner of the new company that my husband and I merged with another company. And decided that I should try to put my education background to work. So I had noticed that there was kind of a gap in PHCC. We certainly have the Education Foundation, which is the education arm of PHCC and has been for years, but they concentrate on apprenticeship and the earlier part of your career as a mechanic / business owner. But there was nothing really for the just average person, the average contractor in there. So that's when it was decided to stand up a Department of Education. And thank goodness we got Heidi on board because she has taken the ball and run with it. So that's the short version, Joel.
Okay. And you left out all the work you've done. You're very humble about everything you do and you've done, but being so involved, I thought it was really nice that you, after being a president, you didn't just stop. You know, a lot of times after going through the gauntlet of all those years, you know, people want to get away for a while, but you just jump back in as you've done. So that's a big credit to what you do and what you stand for and how involved you are. So Heidi, you know, I'm glad she brought it up. Talk about, I worry a lot of times that people, you know, don't understand the difference between the Education Foundation and what they do and what the Education Department and PHCC National does, and that they're separate but complementary. But talk about how you see that, some, the differences and all that conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. I think Lori summed up the foundation very well. You know, early career and apprenticeship, we have a phenomenal apprenticeship program. If you've ever gone and taken any of the Kirk Alter courses that are run, John Zink in the foundation does a terrific job with that in management. He's even gotten Kirk to participate with his education at the annual conference. But for me, my focus is really on the business owner and to some degree their staff. So I focus on putting out content that helps business owners be better business people. So one example is where we're developing a finance boot camp right now. And, you know, the education committee, and with, of course, Lori at the head of it, has done a terrific job helping us, you know, get content right and review everything. And it's 9 modules and it's covering everything from, you know, understanding a P&L statement, how to read a budget, financial ratios, how to identify theft and fraud, all the way to something.
Lori, why didn't you do that 25 years ago for me? That would have been that. Would, yeah.
Why didn't you do it for me?
I know.
Yeah. I can barely pass the course.
Heidi,
now.
We you know, as contractors, we get focused, and I'm sure Lori would think this too. You know, we get so focused on the customer service and the technical aspects, and you know, asks, you know, if you want to go to sleep, ask a plumber or an air conditioner. Ask somebody like me. Talk to me about this heat pump. And I mean, oh my God, you know, they're going up, but the financial part, well, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah.
And so that's really an important piece. Yeah.
It is. And it's been a really, it's been a terrific learning experience for me as well, because I just didn't realize how, and I hate to put it this way, but how easy it is to fraud your employer. And we brought on, you know, one of the subject matter experts that we have several, is Ruth King. And I think most of you know her. And she has been, you know, tremendous in terms of, you know, helping us really gather, you know, the right content around budgeting and ratios and theft, and, you know, because she just does so much of this. But this boot camp, you're going to be able to take it as one complete boot camp, all 9 modules, or you can take them as one-offs if you don't feel like you need everything. So all of them are independent of each other, and that's nice. But it's not just for the business owners like you, Joel. For example, you can promote somebody who may now have financial responsibilities. They may want to take this boot camp to understand it.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then when you talked about communication, that's something else. We also focus on soft skills as well. Communication, project management, critical thinking, problem solving. You know, we're working at that aspect as well. So think of me as the person that you come to for education, which you kind of get into your career and you start climbing that ladder to become a seasoned professional.
Okay. So, you know, I guess, and you talked about some of it, give us some of the other, you know, most important parts of, you know, of what you're doing with the education piece for your contractors and our members. Because, you know, I do think, as contractors, you know, we don't, this continuing education thing, this thought process, and a lot of other, you know, I'm from an education background. I've got an engineering degree.
Oh, okay.
But when I, you know, we tend to, on that side, tend to focus, there's some format set up where we constantly are continuing education. If I went that path to really be a licensed engineer, and I'm not, but you know, but in the contracting world, we don't seem to do that quite as much, where it's the continuing education piece. So Lori, I know that's what you guys are really focused on. So what other pieces do you see that you're driving that you see is important to our members?
Do you want to take that for a second, Lori, and then I'll pop in?
Sure. I think, you know, we're constantly asking the committee members. We have a great committee, very verbal. It's kind of hard to get them to be quiet after a while, which is nice.
Yeah.
But we are constantly asking them what issues are critical to running your business. And it's not just the financial end. It's the training, and how do you run a training program for your company and yet not keep people sitting in your offices or in your staff meetings or whatever, and not out servicing your customers. I think that's a fine line. You really have to learn how to do training kind of on the run, and make it a constant focus. It's kind of like when you first started wearing seatbelts, you know, people kept saying, you know, you got to wear seatbelts. Well, now they have programs like Click It or Ticket and things like that, that, you know, we're constantly trying to train the contractors to think safety and talking about the OSHA standards, what things to look for when there's an OSHA person on your site. Tool and safety training is just critically important, and it just has to be the whole time.
Yeah, and I think the one question I always like to ask is, what keeps you up at night as a business owner? Really, what keeps you
up
at night?
We don't sleep. We don't sleep.
We'll sleep, yeah. But yes, I mean, to that point, you know, we have a very diverse audience, and one of the areas that we're going to start hitting harder is trying to find some niche education for the HVAC community. You know, a lot of what we do is really good, you know, whether you're HVAC, AC, you know, whatever you happen to be, you can, chances are you can take a lot of our courses. But We do have things that are strictly plumbing, so you know, we want to have education for everyone, for all of our members.
Okay. Well, as an air conditioning contractor, I'm all in favor of more air conditioning specific training. Yeah, that's the first time you guys have heard that. I think something too that is misunderstood about PHCC sometimes is, I get the question a lot, is that, you know, most of our contractors are big contractors, and they're not at all.
No.
And no. So, you know, we're this whole past history conversation about you're not alone. You know, that was one of our taglines years ago. But I'm very fortunate to be in a third generation company that's grown some over the years. But I cannot imagine. I know there's days when I feel alone, even in our, you know, with our the size of our company and all the support I have. But I can't imagine when you got a smaller company. And so I think that's really getting that word out that you guys are providing so many opportunities that you are is really important. And so state by state, one of the things we've asked, you know, off and on is, you know, what do you see, you know, Heidi, as some of the best things you're doing for the state associations to help, you know, help their members? Because I think everything comes through the states. That's really the connection to the local and the state. So how are you guys partnering with them?
Yeah, so what we like to do, we reach out to the states and from time to time, you know, to get topics, to, you know, what do you want to learn? You know, what's keeping you up at night? You know, that's a big question that we always want to be able to have an answer to. We have really solid webinar series, and they're interactive, and we brought Scorpion in for a while. Absolutely raised the bar on webinars. Michael Sauer at Scorpion had brought in a polling software, so you were asked questions and you were given points, you know, if you answer correctly, and you got really terrific prizes at the end that some of our members had donated, like Milwaukee Tool. And then, of course, we have the Education Committee, who helps us put on a terrific conference at Connect. And so, you know, we're very happy each year now that we have the Education Committee and the members to, you know, kind of look at the program and, you know, bless it so that when, you know, when our members, when the chapters, when the locals and the states go to Connect, you know we've put a really solid program together. Something we're going to start doing this year, COVID kind of put a damper on this for a while, is we want to do more face-to-face programming, and that's when the chapters are really going to come into play and be able to help us out. So shortly, I am going to be reaching out to the state execs, the chapters, and talking to them about, you know, do you want us to come? What would you like to hear? Because we're also partnering with USC get some education out as well that's going to be provided by the coaches. So as soon as probably in the new fiscal year, which is going to start in July, then we're going to start looking at bringing more roadshow type programming now that things are opening up a little bit and we're getting better control over COVID. So you're going to see us a lot more on the ground, you know, in the states.
Okay. So you have a lot of webinars, you have a lot of different opportunities. If people go on their website and look at all the historical data that, you know, the opportunities we've collected for years and years and years, and now a lot of that's available, you know, online to go to our website. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about they don't get into the website and really look at it. I would encourage, you know, I made a comment the other week that I'm trying to spend 30 minutes a week reintroducing myself to the PHCC website.
Yeah,
because there's so much there. It's almost overwhelming. I know, Lori, you and I've talked about that before, that we're almost our own worst enemy, that we have so much information, you know, sitting there. And I'll need something and I'll talk to somebody and they'll go, well, it's on the website, dummy. And they, you know, especially with my background and Lori, yours too, probably, they'll go, you didn't know that? And so it's just so much there. It's just hard to,
So I think that is one of the focuses that we have talked about, is actually having a webinar or some kind of training session on how to get into the PHCC website and what's on there and how to get around and how to maneuver, because so many of us are a little bit on the older side, shall I say, and we're not that familiar with getting into these things.
Yeah, website for dummies. You know,
and that's something we're going to do. We had a new member call, and this was probably early last year. And, you know, I ended up taking the call, and he had education questions. So, you know, because then I started getting into, you know, where you have what BHCC does, you have QSC, you have the foundation. So I pulled two of my colleagues in, John Zink and Dave Chick, you know, who's with QSC. And we did, you know, kind of a little webinar presentation for him and walked him through the website and showed him everything. And so we're actually going, when the time permits, we're going to actually record a webinar that we can put on the website that's going to walk people through,
Please do. I think that may be a very important, you know, thing on how to get connected with the website and really how to get the most out of it. Okay, I really like it. Anything else, Laura, you want to pile
I'd like
on?
To take that class.
hurry up, Heidi, hurry up.
But it's also going to go through the LMS too, because, you know, the website shows us a lot of information, but my education, it's really housed in our learning management system, which you can get to from the website. So it'll go through all of that as well. And, you know, that's a perfect resource because, you know, as education grows, people are going to use the LMS a lot more, you know, whether you're looking for education or trying to sign up for education, or if you want to see an archived webinar. All of our webinars are archived on the website, and they are free. They're free for members anyway to take live. Sure. The archives are also free as well. And as long as the content is still timely, we keep the webinars there.
Sure. You know, we always fight this battle of it being too expensive to join, but Lord, just the webinars, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joel, you know, you mentioned something about us being our own worst enemies. And I think that was one of the things I noticed even as long ago as when I was on the board of directors or president. Most members don't have any inkling as to how a board of directors is formulated. I mean, who gets to be on the board of directors and what is a zone director? And, you know, those are, you know, that's something that we could address in a real quick education seminar for a new member, particularly saying, you know, here's the structure of PHCC. And while we basically work from the states on up to the National Association, here's how the National Association can help you and how they're formulated. And these people are just contractors like everybody else. They're just helping out. So,
yeah, I think
you just gave me a new webinar, Lori.
Well, volunteerism. Mark and Gray and I were on a call with Texas yesterday, and one of the main themes, you know, was, you know, to step up, you know, and it's not this, it's not they, you know, I used to hear the National Association is they, you know, projected as those guys or they, and it's us, you know, and it's just, maybe, you know, just you're volunteering in a different format, in a different, you know, different way. And that connection across the country has been invaluable, unbelievably valuable to me with all the people I've met that run similar and a lot of times different businesses to get their perspective on something that we do. And I think that's a massive value that we see, you know, all the time. And it's talked about all the time. I think every conversation I get into about the value of PHC ends up at some point focusing on, you know, somebody like me asking Lori a question about how you do something. And then we learn from each other. So capitalizing on those kind of things, Heidi.
You know, one of the things that I tried to do when I was president, and I did a fair amount of traveling when I was president, this was pre-COVID days, was I tried to let the state associations that I was visiting know that National is more of a repository of information. Sure. It's like a big library, and we're not this big, hairy, audacious, you know, monster in the room. It's just people made up of contractors who want to help everybody at the state and local levels. And it's just a big library that real rubber hits the road when you're talking about the state and the locals. It's not National's not running things. It's the states and the locals that are running things.
Yeah, there's no chance of that. That's for sure. But I think the education group is a way to project that too, Lori. I mean, really, you know, to see the outcomes of what we're trying to do with that. So I like to switch gears a little bit in this. If people, you know, like to hear other things about you guys. And so, Laura, if I could, let's go ahead. Who's your favorite PHCC past president?
Uh-huh.
All right, never mind. You know,
they're
thought,
all mine.
There
they're
you
all
go.
They're all this is family, Joel. You know, this is why I stay involved, because you can't say which is your favorite child or your favorite uncle because you'll get in trouble. But you know, this is my other family, and that's how I feel about it.
Heidi, I'm just kidding. You know, I was going to ask, I was thinking about this question this morning, Laurie, but I did want to mention somebody. David Duggar, you know, from Tennessee, got me into this mess. And I mean that by when I first came to Connect, you know, I met David, and I knew a bunch of people from Tennessee, and we were hanging out one night, and he goes, "So what else are you going to do with this?" And it was, you know, he was just such a great leader person, and he just looked at me and said, and it was basically, "Is this it? You know, is this, you're just going to come to the meetings?" I mean, and I just, at the time, I was like, wow, I think I just stepped in it, but it was such a leader. He was such a good leader, so I got to mention him. And then for me, Ken Nielsen, asking me to be his secretary out of the blue, you know, he called me, and I, you know, of course I said yes, and, you know, but him, I never would have done this without his connecting me the way he did with everybody else in a leadership position. So, you know, other people lead you, and I know they end up, now maybe neither one of them is my favorite because of that, depending on how things go sometimes, but I did want, you know, there are those people that help lead you in better direction, so I did want to mention them. So more importantly, though, tell us something about you that nobody knows.
Well,
talking to me?
Either one of you, yeah. Who wants to go first?
So,
go ahead, Heidi.
I think Heidi's going first, Laura.
I have never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's like the worst thing I could think of. I know, that's, yeah.
What?
Okay, now I know why I haven't told anybody, but yeah. It's something about peanut butter and jelly together that just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I'm going to call in Grayo after this, and we're going to reevaluate you.
Well, Lori said, now I'm going to start getting recipes for peanut butter and jelly.
Recipes from everybody. So all over the country.
Send it my way.
Creamy Jif and Smucker's grape jelly. Okay.
I will try
four.
It.
Four.
Oh, my God. And milk. Okay, the podcast is over. I'm leaving. But, okay, I don't want to know anything that personal. Lori, what you got?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I would say you probably all know that I love to travel. Mm-hmm. But you probably don't know how I got that love of travel. And so this is the thing that most people don't know about me, is that my grandfather was a travel writer. And he traveled the world writing books.
Nice.
And it was a series called All the Best In, and then the name of the country. So my entire childhood was done vicariously. I would transport him up to the airport, you know, several times a year, and pick him up several times a year, and coming back from all of his adventures. And so got to hear a lot about it. And that love of travel just kind of got instilled. My dad went to school in France twice. He was in kindergarten in Paris. And then as he got older, he was in high school there, but he traveled the world going to school in different countries. So it's just been a part of my existence. So travel is a really important thing to me, but how I got there was through my grandfather.
See, that's why you asked this question, because there's almost always this background, family background or something that ties us into those thought processing. That's really nice. I love hearing that. And why? So the next one is going to be peanut butter and jelly all over the world. Is that going to be like the next?
That's right.
Okay. Let's tie those two together. So the other thing I like to talk about, and this has been interesting, is your favorite dessert or, you know, Lori?
I'm not a huge dessert lover, but if you put creme brulee or lemon meringue pie in my face, I will eat it all day long.
Okay.
And the creme brulee has to be warm. See, I had it warm in one restaurant and I fell in love. And every time I order it now, it's cold. And I like, no, just throw it in the microwave or do something. I don't know how you warm it up, but it's, but those are my two favorites.
Okay.
And I have a suggestion for you on creme brulee, but we can talk about it offline. Where it'll give you a chance to travel, and you'll probably have the best creme brulee you've ever had.
Yeah. Okay, Heidi, is that
my
yours?
Turn. Okay, so if I had to pick my favorite ice cream, it would be butter pecan, and it just needs no explanation. It just is. It's just everything. It's good. It's like Lori. Yeah, like Lori. I mean, I'm not a big sweet person. I do make a dessert a week. I take one part of it for me, and then my neighbors get the rest. I do that every week. Every
do
weekend
you
I
really?
Do.
Really? Every week?
Because sometimes I just want to try something, but I don't want the whole thing because, well, that would not be good at all. So I make
you,
it.
You have a strange worldview. I would do the opposite. Say, here, come get your little bit. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. And then I just give it away. And you know, thank God my one neighbor has a crazy sweet tooth. But so, yeah.
Well, I think that says a lot, too.
Win-win.
That is really good. Okay. And then maybe something else. Childhood memory. You guys a favorite childhood memory? I think that tells us a lot about. And Lori, I'm not letting you go first. Heidi, go ahead.
This is actually going to feed into Lori's grandfather's story. So when I was little and you didn't have TSA at the airports, and it's funny how you have bits of your childhood that you remember vividly. My parents would put me in the stroller and take me to the local airport. And I would just sit glued to the glass watching the planes take off and land. Did you do that, Lori? Yeah. I mean, it was
waiting for somebody to wave at you.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I love to do it. And I'm a first generation American. So both my parents are from overseas. So I travel because of that. But I think just watching those airplanes just really fed my love of travel. And I've been to about, last count, it's about 3-4 countries. So, two more next week. So
where did they immigrate? Where did they immigrate from?
So my mother came from Germany and my father came from Italy.
From Italy? Okay. Great.
Italy. Yeah. And so when I was 6, I spoke 6 languages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because when I was in school, I spoke German and Italian at home and I still speak German. And then when I was in school, starting in first grade, they would divide, you had language classes. And they would divide it into four, so into quarters. So one quarter was French, and then German, and then Latin. And Spanish. So.
And Southern and North. I'm just kidding, Lori.
Lori, I had to learn Southern when I moved here.
You're still working on that, aren't you, Heidi? Trying to understand.
Southern, yep. Yes. Well, I'm from Virginia, so.
Yeah. I know, Lori.
My probably all-time favorite memory. I have two brothers and. We are a very close family. And even today, my brothers and I, if there's a football game on that we all like the Patriots, of course, because we're from New England and, you know, we'll text each other. I know, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, my favorite childhood memory was a Christmas one when we were decorating the Christmas tree and my dad. There was also always music in my house, always music playing and all different kinds of music. And so there's my dad climbing up the ladder to put the lights on the tree. And he starts singing, Nola Fajola, Nola Fajola. And my brothers and I are looking at him going, what is he singing? So we finally asked him, he says, yeah, it's a real popular song, you know, and I said, I think that's the Johnny Mathis song, No Love But Your Love. And my dad had transformed it into Nola Fajola. So that's been a long-standing joke in our family now. So,
you know, Christmas memories. I am about 12 years old, maybe, and my brother's 9, and I had gone to bed early. And you know, I'm laying, and on Christmas Eve we slept together. And what we did that so my parents could lock the doors, you know, whatever. But we didn't know that. So I'm 12, and I already know that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And, okay, spoiler, don't show this to kids. But you know, and so I'm laying in bed. I'm almost asleep. And all of a sudden, our neighbor had set up a ladder and had climbed up on our roof with sleigh bells and is stomping around on our roof. And I'm 12, and I'm going, what? And the hair stands up on the back of my neck. And he's yelling and ho-ho, you know, all this mess. And my brother comes flying up the steps. And I thought, for a split second, I thought, maybe he's real. You know, that's a great, you know, memory. My brother just sliding under the covers going, Santa Claus, oh, my God. You know, it was great, you know, now. But I still rib him that he didn't understand. But anyway. So, guys, let's get back to – I mean, yeah, thanks for that. I think all across the country with our contractors and our members, making all these things so personal with each other is how we grow together a lot of times. And I think if in today's crazy world – we have so much more in common, but we don't ever get to that. And so I really appreciate those. I really appreciate those stories, and you know, just you two with the travel connection. You know, I bet y'all really didn't know that that travel connection that you had, and then the peanut butter and jelly that we're going to work on. So, oh my God. So let's get back to a couple things. You know, going forward, PHCC is really trying to focus on the wide range of contractors we have. I know it's a struggle, Heidi. It's got to be a struggle when you see massive construction contractors that do all this new construction commercial to little service contractors that have to be focused so much on the individual customer service piece. And then you're supposed to supply education to plumbers and air conditioning guys and service guys. And, you know, and you got union signatory contractors, and then, you know, non-signatory. So how in the world how are you doing some of this? What do you see as some of those struggles? Talk about some of that thought process.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I think it's actually a blessing having a very diverse audience. I like having a diverse membership because you learn so much. I mean, not just me, but, you know, everybody, you know, learns from each other. So you may be focused on HVAC, but think of how much you probably learned from, you know, maybe Lori, you know, around plumbing. But, you know, we have members who are, you know, really good about stepping up and helping us with ideas, and, you know, the education committee, you know, again, I can't applaud them more. And Lori keeps coming back to share year over year, which just kills me to death. So at this point, you know, she's never going to retire at all, at least officially. Some of the struggles is, you know, you got to make sure you get it right, because at the end of the day, you know, if the education isn't worthwhile, or if it doesn't, you know, give you the results that you need, then, you know, you really haven't done your membership justice. So I always encourage people to, you know, to email me, to reach out to me if they have any ideas around education, if they feel like they're struggling with something. You know, send me your ideas, because, yeah, even if I can't necessarily do an education program around it, because maybe that's not what it warrants, you know, we can certainly try and help you out with your issue, because, you know, we're at least going to do that much. But there are a lot of resources out there, whether it's, you know, sister organizations that we work with, whether it's states, the chapters, you know, whatever, you know, we have a lot of resources out there. And, you know, the education committee members are also very well connected when we need help. And, you know, if I'm ever stuck on something, my first turn is to the education committee, and I will generally send them an email and say, you know, hey, help me out. You know, do you guys have any ideas here? So there's a lot of resources, and, you know, yes, there's a lot of bumps in the road. So sirens going by. Sorry.
Run.
There we go. And so, yes, I mean, we have our resources, we have our bumps, but, you know, we get over them all. You know, I haven't ever been so stuck on something that something couldn't move forward, but, as long as I continue, you know, to have the, you know, the support of the membership, support of the committee and the staff, you know, we will get through, you know, any challenge we have around education.
Okay. You know, we had some big meetings about Connect in Charlotte, and I think it is a unique opportunity coming out of, you know, a little bit out of COVID, and, you know, we had such a great Connect last year. And one of the things that we're really going to do is have different tracks at Connect, mm-hmm. and so we're building those. And so I know one of the takeaways from this is you need members to help you with what they want to see, and we're terrible about telling you, Heidi, fix it, and Lori, I mean, aren't we? You know, we're that sounds great, Heidi, do something. And but you really need direct feedback from our members. So if you're watching this today, please send a note to Heidi, you know, if you're an air conditioning contractor, what would you like to see as something maybe a good way to frame it is, like you said, what keeps you up at night, but really more importantly too, is what are we going to do to make our businesses improve in the future? And we're going to have tracks like Next Generation is a big focus. We're trying to get more young contractors to get connected with each other. And then we're also looking at a plumbing track, an air conditioning track, a business track.
Yeah.
And you got tracks that overlap with both, like you talked about earlier. So mm-hmm. you really need that kind of feedback. Anything on that? Anything else on that, Lori, or anything?
You know, one of the things that I think is really important And this isn't educating our contractors, but educating the public as to who we are. And I mean, people constantly think that a plumber is a plumber is a plumber.
Yeah.
And that is not true. I mean, we are so specialized now. There's service contractors, there's residential contractors, there's high-end residential contractors, there's historic contractors. I mean, we have so many different niches that the public just really doesn't know. They used to call our company and say, can you come out and fix my drippy faucet? And I'd say, no, I can't. I don't do that work. Well, you're a plumber, aren't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's not the focus of our work.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we have to learn how to educate the people who we are serving, what our specialties are. It's kind of almost like being a doctor. You know, there's orthopedic doctors and geriatric doctors, and you know, they don't all deal with the same thing. I'm seeing a lot of those geriatric doctors lately.
I wasn't going to touch that one. I'll let you talk about that.
I know.
I was going to leave that sitting there. But you know, I think it is important, and it's the same kind of thing, Heidi, that you know Laurie's talking about with the association. You know, maybe the takeaway too for our members is, you know, go ask questions, go be inquisitive about the website, go see what before we. I know in my company right now. We are paying probably 5 or 6 platforms on education, and we're not using, I bet we're using 50% or 40% of the opportunities that are sitting there, and we keep looking for new ones instead of constantly trying to make sure that, you know, did we go look at PHCC's website to see what was newly added in the last 3 months? And we just don't do that enough. But that's what happens to all of us. There's so much noise for us as contractors that, you know, probably the most important thing I heard today was, you know, that we're going to try to do some things to make sure everybody understands what's there. We're going to teach about how to use the website. We're going to teach to make sure you're looking at those opportunities. So reminding people to do that, because we all get in our bad habits or good habits or whatever. So it's a good opportunity. Yeah. So anything else you guys thoughts on this? Anything else on the education format and the exciting Lori's going to be doing it for 25 more years?
Please. Yeah. Oh yeah. From my wheelchair. I think what we are doing is absolutely incredible. And of course, it moves a lot slower than I had anticipated, because there's a lot of moving parts to what Heidi does. She puts together these learning management systems and figures out who's going to make the background stuff for all the boot camp. And I mean, there's so many parts and pieces that I just didn't know anything about. So it has to move a little bit slower than I would like, because we're all sort of, you know, I want it now, and I want it good, and I want it now. And so we just need to get better at producing these things so contractors can have their day have it ready for them.
So the opportunity is there with our education system to take, you know, but that in combination with the foundation, you know, and cradle to grave is I heard this conversation. But really, if you think about it, as a contractor, almost every resource you need to build your business is connected to PHCC. And so we need to encourage people to go get more connected. And that's why we call it the Connect Conference. You know, we need to get more connected day by day and week by week, and spend some more time making sure that we all understand and we project what's on the education format at PHCC.
And I also want
you to call it, excuse me, just a second. You called it the cradle to grave, but I kind of... my analogy has always been, it's been like a horseshoe, and we start at one side of the horseshoe, and you're climbing up that horseshoe, and at the apex of the horseshoe is where the Education Foundation takes you to the left side of the horseshoe, PHCC's education department takes you on the right side, and it goes all the way through your business to your exiting strategies to get out of your business. So, you know.
High school to retirement, that's probably better. How's that? That's a better, you know, Mark Ingrao has been on me about, you need to frame things a little differently, Mr. Long, President Long, but yeah.
Is like sort of doom and gloom, but you know, whatever.
But you know, Lori, I like the way you frame that too, but I think we need to retrain ourselves to look at it that way. I think there's so much focus on the apprenticeship, but we tend to, we don't stop. you know, we don't stop learning in our crazy businesses. It's every day. We can't keep up. Our company, we're struggling all the time to keep up, and I know that's the same across the country. So thanks, you know, for all that. Heidi, what else you got? I know you were going to.
No, I was going to say, you know, you had mentioned Connect, and, you know, the way we get the sessions for Connect is we put out a call for presentations, and that's coming out really soon. I mean, very, very soon. So please watch your email, watch your website. And if you have a good story to tell, I really encourage you to submit an abstract, you know. Everything you need to know is going to be in that call. Everything from, you know, topics that we're looking for, all the way down to, you know, a document that kind of explains everything we're asking of you and why, you know, to make sure that you're submitting, you know, the best possible abstract you can have. And then, you know, you come to Connect and, you know, you see your friends, you see your peers, you see your PhD family, and, you know, maybe you give somebody, you tell somebody a story that resonates with them and they take that story along with them through their career. But, you know, either way, I always do a completely selfless pitch to everyone and say, we want to hear from you. So if you have any ideas, if you have something you're struggling with, if you need education or training around something, reach out to me. My name is up there. So my email is my last name at bhcc.org. And I'd love to hear from anyone. Perfect. Including peanut butter and jelly recipes.
Okay, part of that. Now you'll probably get a lot of those. You got to watch out. So, ladies, I really want to appreciate, just thank you so much for doing this. I thought we had a great connection on, you know, what's happening with the education and training piece at PHCC National. And, of course, Lori, love always seeing you and your perspective, you know, being a past president and such a leader in our organization. And I don't look at you as a female leader in our organization. I look at you as a leader in our organization, Lori. And,
well put.
And we definitely love having you. I do like to, you know, finish up. Most leaders I know read, and so I have been blessed. And I try to talk about a book, and I've got a book, Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles. And I've read it a couple times, but I'm rereading it because our company needs help on customer service and being focused on the customers. And I wanted to bring that book up. It's I'm about halfway through it again, and it makes me mad every time I read it because it's just such a simple thought process on how you get more connected internally and externally. And I know PHCC National's focused on that too right now. On customer service with our states and our members through that. And so this education piece to me fits right into that thought process because that's really what this is. That's what you guys are winning for our members doing. So do y'all have any books y'all wanted to bring up? Y'all don't read?
I do. Well, the last book I read, I read a lot of history.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Autobiographies. I don't read a whole lot of fiction at all. There's some, but not much. So I like history, biographies. And so one of the more interesting books I just read was called A Broadway, A History of New York City in 13 Miles. So it's not Broadway when you think of the Ziegfeld Follies and all the theaters, it's Broadway Road itself.
Oh, okay.
And the book starts with, you know, of course, Broadway, if you know New York, starts, you know, all the way down in Lower Manhattan. And the book starts, chapter one is mile one. And so it goes all the way up to chapter 13, which is the 13 miles that Broadway runs in New York City. And of course, it's the longest road in the world, going all the way up 150 miles to Albany. But it brings in such wonderful characters because it doesn't just talk about Broadway itself. It talks about how it was built, the characters around it, P.T. Barnum, Edgar Allan Poe, Alexander Hamilton, and how everything just kind of grew up around it, how it transformed from Manhattan, transformed from, you know, a farmland with rolling hills to, you know, the metropolis that it is today. So very, very interesting book. So if you like history.
What was the name of that book again? Say that again.
Yeah, so it's called Broadway, A History of New York City.
Okay.
In 13 miles, I think, because it's 13 miles of Broadway is New York.
Okay, great. All right.
Yeah, great book.
Lori, you've had all kind of free time recently since you're not doing anything and you're sitting back. Have you been reading any lately besides medical charts?
I read a lot. I am reading all the time, but one thing I learned when I was in college that it's the only time of day I can read is the early morning.
Yeah.
which now that I'm retired from my business, I can do. Because if I try to read in the evenings, it's just, you know, it's an eyelid drooper. I just fall asleep magically. It's great for falling asleep. But I am the antithesis of what Heidi is doing. I'm a fiction reader. I'm a murder mystery gal, and David Baldacci and John Grisham and James Patterson and all those things. And I guess I like them because there's always the good guys always win at the end. And when I was thinking about this particular question, it dawned on me that most of the books that I read seem to have female lead characters in them.
Shocking.
Grafton and Nancy Drew and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so maybe it formulated me from an early age, you know, to thinking about being in leadership positions more than I even know. But I like to read, and I like to be sitting on the edge of my seat going, what's going to happen next? You know, kind of thing.
Well, I can see that and probably instilled hope and drive to do some of that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Those are great, different. You know, a lot of times we'll get this, you know, we get people talking about, like, I'm talking about service and all that stuff with our business, but a really good connection with how you, I can see that, Lori, I swear. Yeah. Every book you're reading is about some woman kicking some. Yeah. I hear you. Here we go.
It's Murder Club. You know, yeah. I'm right there. I'm
killing
I'm
her husband. Somebody warned Danny. Somebody warned Danny. She's talking about killing, you know, it's probably the, whatever.
But yeah, guys, she won't do that. He just got a new knee.
I know. He's on the recovery. Well, let's see in about 2 months. Let's see if.
Yeah, please. Nurse. Let's not jinx this.
But listen, guys, I really want to thank you for the time. And it's Heidi. It's great to see that how well education is taken care of with PHCC National. And we are blessed to have you on board with all the work you're doing. And thanks. Thanks for everything you do in the outreach and the professionalism you're bringing to PHCC National. And then, Lori, all your support. I hope contractors all over the country understand how much time and dedication you've had to improving the industry. And so we just want to thank you for that. So listen, guys, in closing, just thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please spread the word about PHCC Rocks. Go to podcast@phccrocks.com. And please give us any future podcast topics or guests. We are going to try to do this for the entire year, and so we're looking for new episodes all the time. PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King from GSM Services and Charlotte Parham with PHCC National.
Yeah.
We've had a great episode today, and I want to thank again Lori and Heidi for all their time today. And I'm your host, Joel Long, and thanks again for hanging out with us for a few minutes. And please keep coming back to hear more reason why PHCC Rocks.